What's up, everyone? Steven Jensen here, Fightful.com. We're here to review Game Changer Wrestling, Hammerstein, a.k.a. The World on GCW. I'm joined by Sean Ross Sapp and Righteous Reg from the Grapsity Podcast. This was a great show, a lot of fun, a lot of crazy stuff happened tonight, and we're going to get into it. Sean, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing awesome. Glad to be here. A Bengals win last night, a fun UFC show, fun GCW show, binge-watched Ozark. It's a good weekend.
Hell yeah. Reg, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, man. Enjoyed that GCW show. They threw a lot out there, and I think they made it happen. So, cool. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, for sure. Sean, you got some news for us, some notes, a bunch of good stuff. What you got for us?
I do. I like to hop on these shows, some of the Impact shows, some of the GCW shows, because I know we're going to get a lot of super chats. I know we're going to get a lot of Humper Chats over at HumperChats.com. That's where you get your question or statement read on the air. And this might answer some of those before you all even ask them. But please still support us with a thumbs up, all that good stuff. And remember, Steven reviews GCW and all kinds of stuff on The Weekender on Fightful Select every week. But I had a lot of news on FightfulSelect.com today. Before the show, you would have seen Marco Stunt was seen around the venue. So it was kind of known that he was there. However, Jonathan Gresham was not there. Jordan Grace has come out and said that she had COVID. Jonathan Gresham, I was able to contact him. He told me that it wasn't worth the risk of exposing people to COVID. So he wasn't able to make it. It was known a little bit ahead of the show that Leo was going to replace Jonathan Gresham in that match, and G Raver replaced him in the ladder match as well. AJ Gray, the story coming into this was that he didn't have a match. I'm told by people close to the show that he was planned for that ladder match as of last week, and I was told that he was fine after that spill. The Spanish announce team, Joel and Jose Maximo, were there as well, which is very cool. I had mentioned that 911, Ian Riccaboni, Sean Waltman were there at the venue as well, as was Amy Rose from ROH. But all of them appeared on the show. Like, I mean, I guess it's cool that they got on the show as well. But really happy to see Marco Stunt there. GCW is where he made his home. There were several people there at the GCW show who were not booked for it. So I don't know if maybe there were going to be plans for them, but I'm going to work on getting some more names. Most of the roster that I talked to believe they're going to come back to Hammerstein after this, but company reps have not confirmed it to me. I did speak to Brett Lauderdale yesterday for a Fightful magazine article, but I reached out to him ahead of the show about some of the changes, but I didn't hear back. I assume he was a busy fella, but they did not make any announcements about the card changes. They did break the record for Hammerstein Ballroom attendance for a wrestling show, which is very, very impressive. And there was, it is a big deal. It is a big deal with the history of all those shows there. And it is very clear they did have a hard out at 11 p.m. Eastern because, and I got people saying like it's antiquated and all that. That's the byproduct of them being on traditional pay-per-view for this as well, which is very important to them. To get on traditional pay-per-view. But you know what? If you got a hard out time in your pants and it ain't working out for you and you want that performance, you don't want to get your time cut to about 7-8 minutes. You don't want that. You don't want to risk a flat finish or a start or anything. You can go to bluechew.com and use that code Fightful and get stronger, harder erections and fantastic performance. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients, or rather, just the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work, but they work on your schedule. They work when you're ready or when you're not. They get you ready, my friends. It's prescribed online. You take their questionnaire. You get matched up with an online physician, and if you qualify, it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, much more discreet than this ad read, much more discreet than that pay-per-view out. That much I'll tell you. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy or the doctor's office to get your first shipment free when you use the promo code FIGHTFUL. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. You'll be putting people through tables, through doors, all kinds of stuff. My God. Fellas, I hope you all have a great show.
Thanks for jumping in, Sean. Hey, appreciate it, man.
SRS.
Great to see you guys.
Great seeing you, man. Reg, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Yes. That's very funny that the hard out, this pay-per-view, very reminiscent. They relied a lot on ECW things, and this show ended just like the first ECW pay-per-view ended. Super hard out. Time ran way past that they wanted to go, you know, wanted it to go to, and they had to get the pay-per-view out quick. This thing happened exactly the same. A lot of ECW tropes happened tonight, and it ended just like that again. Very funny. Very ECW karma on to you. So enjoy, GCW.
Yes, absolutely. As Sean was saying at the start of the show, if you're sending in the super chats and the humper chats, we're going to read them out. We'll put them up on the screen, the super chats, and we'll read out the humper chats for you. I think that this show overall, and we'll get into the matches here, it was strange because it wasn't like the hottest GCW crowd I've ever seen, but like it was a whole lot of people, right? So like it felt like a good portion of the audience was like really locked in and like hardcore GCW fans, but it also attracted just a lot of just pro wrestling fans that wanted to be a part of a big show like this. So like some of the matches like really hit, and then some of them I think missed a little bit, but maybe would have been better in like a setting that GCW is more used to kind of being in, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt very reminiscent of when I go to PWG shows, when they have big shows like Bola, and there's just a bunch of fans that are like not used to being at the shows, but they're there. So they don't really know how to react to things. They don't know sometimes what's going on, what these angles are, or what's happening. So it was a very weird and interesting show, a very weird and interesting crowd for sure. The New York crowds are always on something else anyway, so it's, you know, it's always up in the air when you go with the New York crowd. And a New York crowd of this size, there's people coming in from different places. GCW is always, their crowds are weird in the first place, so it's like a mesh of a bunch of things tonight and for the show, so.
For sure, and Dan V kind of echoes our sentiments a little bit, says, thank you very much for the super chat, Dan, says, it was a rough show. The crowd was poorly mic'd. I was incredibly disappointed, and Kevin Gill continues to stink on commentary. The six-man tag was really good, though, compared to Terminus with those matches. So it sounds like Dan didn't really enjoy the show. I enjoyed the show. I mean, KG, we're going to talk about a lot of really positive stuff. KG is a divisive name in GCW. There's a lot of chatter on Twitter usually throughout the shows about Kevin Gill. Right. But Dan, nonetheless, thank you very much for the super chat. And,
hey, that's the homie. Shout out to Kevin Gill, man. I like Kevin Gill. That's my friend.
Well, there you go.
Stop hating on Kevin Gill, man. Let him get his stuff in.
See, the thing is, like, people seem to complain about how often he curses on commentary, but, like, it's so on brand for GCW, it doesn't bother me, you know?
No, that's what it's supposed to be like.
Eloquent.
This isn't Raw.
Yeah, this is very, very different than Raw, that's for sure. Eloquent, with a super chat, thank you very much, says, first time I've seen a GCW show, felt it was mid, to be honest. So we're getting a couple negative super chats to start the show off.
Yeah,
but hey, at
what's
least
up,
you
Eloquent?
Checked.
Shout out to Eloquent. Yeah, you know, I felt overall on the show, I felt that they didn't GCW up enough. It was like, just like I was saying, it was kind of like a super duper big tribute to ECW. It was like, what did they do on One Night Stand? Like, let's recreate that for this show. And I felt they relied too heavily on those ECW things, and I didn't really like that portion of it. The thing that got you guys to Hammerstein, see, Atticus Coger put out that great promo right before the show where he was 100% right. The thing that got them to the dance, they just abandoned all of it at this show, the build-up to the show, and during the show. It's like, all the young people and the young guys and the young matches and these different things you got relied heavy on, you kind of just threw them all together or put them in multi-man matches or, you know, having them as a little spot in the show. But you relied heavily on Jeff Jarrett and Matt Cardona and all these like old things that we've seen before, bro. We don't want to see Jeff Jarrett. I mean, come on. What are we talking about right now? Why am I watching Jeff Jarrett on a GCW show? This isn't Impact. This isn't WWE. This isn't WCW. Like, why is Jeff Jarrett on my screen? It's just like when Billy Gunn and his son come out on Dynamite. I'm like, why am I watching this? Why am I watching this right now? I should not be watching this. That's how it feels to see Jeff Jarrett on the show. Jeff Jarrett, we don't want to see you wrestle. We shouldn't be watching you wrestle on a big giant GCW show. The thing that brought you to the dance. I know they can't have fire and barbed wire and and things, but there's ways you could have got around it. There's more things you could have did. There were some positives on the show, and we will talk about it. So
for sure. And to your point there, they were a bit pigeonholed with like where they were doing the show. They couldn't do, I mean, they're so known for the deathmatch wrestling. Right. Although GCW, from the outside looking in, I think a lot of people have this like this notion that GCW is strictly deathmatch, but usually you get like one or two ultraviolent death matches, and the rest is a lot of like what we saw tonight, minus their, I mean, they do incorporate legends. I mean, we do say that a lot, but the nerd guru says, first time watching GCW, I was entertained for sure. Some things were jarring compared to an AEW or WWE show, but it still kicked ass. Mox looks amazing. So Nerd Guru was entertained by the show, and I agree. Mox looks very healthy right now, which is a great thing to see. On the flip side, we got Ken with a super chat. Thank you very much. Says, I love GCW, but if they want to claim to be third or first biggest promotion, they got to fix their production and audio. And that isn't just GCW. Like, that happens a lot on Fight TV. I'm not sure really like where the blame lies on that.
All the Ring of Honor shows are always like, oh my God, what is going on here? Every time I watch on Fight, I'm like, what is this? I'm thinking like, is it my Xbox? But it's like, everyone that's watching on Fight is experiencing these issues. So yeah, there's some kind of disconnect with the promotions and Fight and somebody. It's always going on there. I see it every, I'm used to it on GCW shows. So really, I'm just like, what production issues? That's like normal for them at this point.
Exactly. Brett Lockman with another super chat says, I'm a newer fan to GCW over the past year, but I thought they nailed this one. Played on some classic moments from the building, cool matches, rest of GCW's year should be something to watch. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's, we'll get into that because it's kind of a match by match basis with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brent. Action with a bunch of zeros and a seven at the end says, what happened to the Briscoes? I don't know what you mean. They were there. They wrestled Nick Gage and Matt Tremont. The match was just, as we were saying earlier, they had a hard out at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's all. I think people were kind of confused on the ending, and it was just like, no, they had to get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. Zero Fear sent a couple super chats. Thank you very much. There was no message, but we very much appreciate the super chats.
It's
a way to directly support those that are here at the channel. It's much appreciated. Let's see if we got anything else to catch up on before we get into the matches. Robert Anderson says, thank you for answering the question about hard out times and pay-per-views. Here's the donation anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Robert.
Appreciate that.
All right. And one last one before we get into some of the matches. Reg, when are we getting you on Sour Graps?
Book me. I'm here. I'm ready. Sour Graps. What's up?
Y'all at Alex Pulowski, you want to see it?
Yeah.
All right.
At Alex.
All right, so let's get into some of these matches. We got more super chats to catch up on, and we will read out every single one of them. We'll answer your questions. We'll read out your comments and statements. Be sure to smash that like button and subscribe if you haven't already as well. We'll get into some of these matches. And so there was so much that happened on this show. We obviously can't sit here and go move by move and point out every single little thing, but we'll go all the way back to that kickoff battle royal, started the show off on the pre-show. I will give a shout out to everyone in the match because I do want their names out there. We had Psycho Clown, Dark Sheik, Cole Radrick, Pero, Hoodfoot, Ruckus, KTB, Juicy Finale, Steve Scott, Nate Webb, Big Vin, Janai Kai, Dustin Thomas, Marcus Mathers, Yo-Yo, Charles Mason, B-Boy Lufisto, and Thunder Rosa. So a lot of talent in that one. Thunder Rosa got a massive pop as expected. As expected that, you know, she was a surprise, but, you know, she gets those kind of reactions. How do you feel about this kickoff battle royal and Big Vin getting the W in this one? The son of 911.
Right. Yeah. No, I love this battle royal because I have a lot of friends in it and a lot of people that I like a lot, like Dark Sheik and Hoodfoot got a really big pop like that was kind of unexpected. I'm like, wow, Hoodfoot really got over with that last match against Alex Colon at that last show.
Dude, GCW debuted for the Ultraviolent Championship and the main event. I'm a big Hoodfoot guy myself, out of like Southern Underground Pro and Paradigm and all that stuff. Right. I love Hoodfoot. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect. It was great. I love seeing that. And so, that was awesome to see. B-Boy was great. Like, B-Boy's a West Coast legend. CZW, all these things. He's been so many places. That was awesome for to see him in Hammerstein, pay-per-view, all the things. He deserves the things. Dope to see Big Ben. He got the win. He got to have a beer with his dad, ECW legend, 911, the big chokeslam guy. It was fun, a lot of fun, you know, like a lot of things tonight. It was rushed, a lot of things happening at the same time. So I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And it came down to Big Vin and Charles Mason. And Charles Mason's real big in JCW, which you can watch their shows on the Game Changer Wrestling YouTube channel. He recently had a really good feud with Everett Connors, right, that also involved Charlie Evans and Billy Starks, which I really enjoyed that whole feud. So, yeah, great match. A lot of talent. It was just great to see a lot of these guys just kind of get their roses, right? Like a lot of indie talent that's out there grinding every single weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Like everybody just kind of got a little appreciation, you know, match and moment and thing. So yeah, that was great to see. Super dope.
Exactly.
I'm happy that they flew all those people out just for that moment. Like when they were announcing all these people over the last week or two, just like, this person's going to be at there. I'm like, where are they going to put all these people? And you see, they're going to have a giant battle royal where they showcase everybody. So that was super dope. I liked it.
Loved it as well. We had the scramble match right after that. Jack Cartwheel, Dante Leon, Grim Reefer, Ninja Mac, Alex Zane, and Shane Mercer. If you watch GCW, you know they're known for their scramble matches. You're guaranteed at least one banger of a scramble every single card. And a lot of the time it's featuring a lot of these talents that we're talking about right now. Guys like Ninja Mac and Dante Leon out of the Texas area that just, you know, I mean, Shane Mercer bringing something different to the table with his agility and strength, and Grim Reefer just super over and has been forever with that crowd. Alex Zane really reinventing himself after his WWE stint. Jack Cartwheel, California dude. You've probably seen a lot of Jack Cartwheel. Definitely. How did you feel about the scramble, man? Because, I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff here, but at the end of the day, Grim Reefer gets the W.
This is the GCW shit that they need. They need more of this. Like, they needed more of this type of thing on the show. When you think of GCW, this is the type of match you think of. This is the people you think of. This is the crazy, everything balls to the wall type of match that you need to be seeing. A great way to start the show, get it started, get all these people shine. Jack Cartwheel, incredible talent. He's out of Sacramento, I think, California. On the rise. Flipping all kinds of shit. Grim Reefer put the joint in his mouth, did the springboard, front flip, all kinds of stuff. It was going crazy. I loved it. This match is the type of thing, when I think of GCW, this is what I want to see. And so I was mad when throughout the night I didn't see more of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And all these talents have really been killing it for, I mean, months, if not years now, some of these guys. So it was cool I get putting them on the pre-show though, because if you were on the fence about ordering the show for any reason and you saw that on the pre-show, you'd be like, all right, I gotta buy this pay-per-view, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to get them in, to ring them in.
Yeah.
And then do it on the show. Come on, GCW, what's up, man? I don't know what's going on here. I'm kind of disappointed, but things happen, man. Big moments, big crowd. There's a lot of eyes on GCW. They did interviews. This is a different monster than they're used to, even though it's just like, I hate when wrestling companies do this, like, do what brought you to the dance, man. Do what brought you here. Don't get to the dance and then do what you expect people that are at the dance to do. Forget that. Do GCW. Give me GCW. Give me all the way into the line. If they're like, well, you guys can't do all these things, you need to get exactly up to that line. I don't feel like they did. I feel like they did a bunch of door spots that were kind of boring. It just wasn't like hitting for me. I was just kind of like, oh, this is a cool show, but not even like a cool GCW show. I've seen some GCW shows where at the end of the show, I'm like blown away. Like that was a crazy, amazing show. And I didn't feel like that after this.
Gotcha. We'll get more into that for sure. The show itself started off, you know, before the show started off, I will shout out Brett Lauderdale and Chris Dickinson going out there and talking to the crowd. It's a bummer that Dickinson couldn't be a part of the show. You know, and what Lauderdale was said was very true. 2020, I remember Bix writing an article about that, actually. Like, Dickinson had all the eyes on him in 2020 for that WrestleMania weekend. But, he's the man in GCW. Can't wait till he's back. Same with Starboy Charlie. I can't wait to see them back as a tag team.
That's crazy that they both went out. Yeah, there was a point where they were like, okay, Chris Dickinson's the next guy. He's going to get all the giant matches. He's going to get all the big things. And then this thing happened. So it's unfortunate. Yeah. But yeah, it felt, again, another parallel. Felt like when RVD was supposed to be at One Night Stand and he has the broken leg so he can't wrestle, but he's here to give a promo to get everybody excited about the show. It's crazy. He's here in New York. It's all his thing. It was a super unfortunate moment, but it's dope that Chris Dickinson got to go out there in front of the New York crowd and say, yo, I'm coming back. And he's revealed that he's coming back in a couple months at spring break. So that's some breaking news there, too.
Yeah, that's a great analogy with the Rob Van Dam One Night Stand. He like put the whole show together, but then he couldn't wrestle. Wow. So the actual pay-per-view opened up with a grab the brass ring ladder match. Mm-hmm. We had Jordan Oliver, a different boy, Jimmy Lloyd, Alex Colon, PCO, Tony Deppen, and G-Raver. And they're all in the ring, and the match is about to start. And then Waka Flocka hits the building, and oh, let's do it. And the mother effing truth, AJ Gray comes out to the ring. One of my favorites. I love everyone in this match, but like AJ Gray had just been killing it for so long. And he's definitely one of the top guys in all of GCW right now. It was great to see him as a surprise entrant to this match. He was supposed to wrestle Eddie Kingston on the show. And, you know, I'm imagining we'll get that match whenever it's possible. Like GCW is not going to forget about that because we all want to see it. How did you feel about this grab the brass ring ladder match? And we got AJ Gray grabbing that brass ring.
Okay. A wave of emotions. This is kind of where things started to turn for me because like, this is exactly what I was talking about here. Everybody in this match is like a GCW staple. Jimmy Lloyd should have a singles match in Hammerstein. Tony Deppen singles match in Hammerstein. Jordan Oliver singles match. Like all these people deserve big moments. They deserve bigger moments than this. Like, I don't feel like I should be watching J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T doing his fucking guitar shtick when these guys got you here. They got you this sold out house and you just send them all out in the first match. Jimmy Lloyd deserves a big moment, man. He's busted his ass, bled, almost died for this company, and he's an afterthought in this match. Like, if any, I love AJ Gray's my guy. Like, that's my favorite wrestler in the world. But, like, Jimmy Lloyd should be winning this match, if anybody. Like, GCW was built on this fucking guy's back, and he's an afterthought in this match. But, of course, just like I said, AJ Gray's my favorite wrestler in the whole world, so it's great that he got the victory. I wanted him to somehow end up in the main event, or the semi-main event world title match. He should have been winning that world title tonight at this show from John Moxley. Should have had his hands held high if that's what they were doing. Yes.
Yeah.
But shout out AJ Gray. He took a very scary. As Sean Ross Sapp said, he's okay, but he took a very scary spill at one point. I'm still scared. I need to text him, actually, now that I think about it.
I agree with you across the board and everything you just said. I'm a massive Jimmy Lloyd fan. And all these guys, really, I mean, Jordan Oliver and everyone involved here. It's Zero Fear in the chat mentioned Atticus Kogar not having an actual match. I thought that was a travesty as well. Like he's been built as like the top heel in the company since RSP left. I mean, but
he's been great. He deserves to have a big moment here. So
yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There was some pretty crazy stuff in this match. Was there any spots you wanted to bring up? Like, I wanted to give a shout out to PCO doing that package pile driver on Jordan Oliver because Oliver's head literally broke the ladder for real. So no, that was a rough one.
PCO did a whole bunch of crazy. They did the Doomsday device and PCO had the ladder and he, like, yo, sick. PCO's gonna murder somebody out here. He doesn't care about lives. He doesn't care about anything. He's great. I love him. He's an actual madman. Like, no one knows if he's a real person inside of that body, dude. He has to be. I don't like, how does he still go so hard every match? He's gonna die in the ring. It's crazy to say. He wants to. I know he wants to. That's his dream. That's his goal. And PCO, I respect you for it, man. I respect you for it. Big time respect.
he's legit one of those guys that every time he takes a bump, I'm like, this might be the last bump. This like every single time. But he just keeps getting back up and doing crazier and crazier
he's
stuff.
He's like, no, I'm actually going to do two more of those before this match is over.
He did a moonsault off the top rope to the outside on top of everyone. I mean, yeah. that was crazy. And one more thing I do want to say that I was disappointed about with this match and the kind of the highlighting I wanted of the talent here. They didn't get their entrances. They were all at the ring when the show started. And like Jimmy Lloyd, a big part of that is like his music and his entrance. Mm-hmm. And like same with Jordan Oliver, the young, dumb, and bro. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't get that stuff. And that's all staples of what GCW is. Exactly. So,
yeah. Like luckily AJ got his, but like all the guys deserve to have their entrance. That's what makes the show. And then I just don't understand what happened, but we're all good.
Joel Pearl says they did the entrances on the pre-show, but you would have missed it if you didn't watch the pre-show.
Yeah, I switched over. I didn't see him. I was ready to see the show on the regular channel, you know?
I did the same thing. Next match, we had Gringo Loco, Demonic Flamita, and Arez taking on Bandido, ASF, and Laredo Kid. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, Gringo Loco had a big weekend, won both the scramble matches on both GCW shows. He seems to be in for a real push right now with GCW, and I'm here for it. That's a guy I first saw him in Glory Pro Wrestling probably 4 or so years ago, something like that. And like he was good then, but he's improved a lot. Like he's really damn good. And I mean, Bandido, we all know, one of the best guys out there. ASF, I know it's a tall comparison to make, but I've been saying for a while that ASF gives me the closest to like young Rey Mysterio vibes of like anyone I've seen in a while, like just like mid 90s Rey Mysterio with some of the stuff he's doing out there and his size. Laredo Kid, I mean, so much talent in this one. What were your thoughts on this match? And this was another one, a bunch of crazy spots.
Loved it 100%. This is awesome, amazing. This is the type of stuff again that needs to be on the show. The base god, as always, has been tearing it up on every show I've seen him on. He's incredible. ASF is what, like, he is going to be, when he gets to where he needs to get to, he's going to be one of the biggest stars in the world. Just the look and the emotions and the facial expressions and the moves and everything that he does. Bandido is another, like, how does this guy exist? Sometimes when he does things, I'm like, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be able to carry two guys and then do a flip. But like, he's insane. This match was awesome. Lucha six man, balls to the wall. Everybody does everything crazy. Flips. There's everything you've never seen in your life. They did one guy flipped and another guy, two flips at the same time. I can't even describe the stuff you've seen here. Amazing match. Luchadors are the best, most creative wrestlers in the world. Like everything that they do is a.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amazing.
Yeah, at one point they did that spot where it was like like chicken fighting, but there was two people on stacked on each person. So there's a three person fight. And then ASF did a Canadian destroyer off of the top of it.
What are you guys doing? How's he standing? Insane. I've never seen anything like that. Three-way chicken with two grappling Canadian destroyer off the top. Like, how do you come up with that? He thinks of doing that?
Yeah, they were definitely creative with it. And I saw Bandito. I was there at Terminus. Got to meet Will Washington and Phil Lindsay while I was there, so that was really cool.
Shout out to my Grap City homies. Yeah,
there you go. And Bandito was like deceptively large in person. Mm-hmm. Like when I saw him up close, I was like, oh, this guy's like massive. Like I didn't realize how big he was, and still doing the move, kind of like Alex Zane. Like until you realize how big he is, you're like, because he wrestles like a quote unquote smaller guy, but like he's a big dude. So yeah, any other thoughts on that? We had Gringo Loco, D'Amato Flamita, Arez getting the win in that one.
Just like you were saying, I think Gringo Loco set up for a big year here. He's been not only in GCW, but I saw him in Warrior Wrestling doing some incredible things. He's tearing it up in every place that he's at. He's having matches like this. He's doing incredible things with all kinds of different wrestlers, just making people look great and at the same time doing crazy things that – when I think about being a backyard wrestler, like the things that he does, I'm like, man, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be this guy as a pro wrestler. He's a creative wrestler come to life. So shout out to Gringo Loco for being innovative when in a land of innovation as a person who frequents Lucha Libre. So it's a feat.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out Gringo Loco. He got the win for his team what it's worth. With a pile driver, I think it was a Gotch style pile driver.
Yeah, ASF. Something happened kind of weird there at the end. I think they were going for something else, but he just hit a pile driver and they got out of there.
Yeah, I agree. It did look a little strange. They're on the top rope, and ASF kind of like missed whatever he looked like he was going for, and then they just went right to the pile driver. But a great match nonetheless.
Yeah, that takes away from nothing what happened there.
Absolutely. After that, we had a little bit of a change up on the show. As Sean Ross Sapp noted earlier, Jonathan Gresham was unable to do the show tonight, and we had the replacement of Leo Rush. Now, he wrestled Blake Christian, and for people who know GCW, you know, they have had some pretty epic matches with one another. One that really comes to mind was Blackheart Leo Rush right after he had left the WWE and right before Blake Christian had gone to the WWE. And they had some real great matches around then. So it was one of those things where, like, I love Jonathan Gresham. I was really looking forward to Gresham versus Blake Christian. Mm-hmm. But this was a pretty darn good replacement for that, in my opinion. What did you think about it, Reg?
Yeah, this was another high point of the show, I think. They, just like Blake Christian said in his little promo, which I liked, he had a lot of fire. He said, ROH, I still want my match. Better call me, which I thought was dope. And then he said he's had the best matches that he's had in GCW with this guy, and this guy was Leo Rush. There's a lot of things going on with Leo Rush. People are questioning what's going on, what's with the future. They just announced that he's a free agent, all these things. So that's looming in the back of people's mind. But just like I always say about Leo Rush, anytime there's drama, anytime there's anything, anytime people are talking about him, as soon as the bell rings, that all goes out the window because he's incredible. As soon as he starts going at it, as soon as he starts being super fast all over the place, you're just like, I don't care what happened outside. This guy is amazing. I want to see him wrestle. And he did it here with Blake Christian. They always have some great transitional things. They always work really well together. They always think of some different spots and different ways to get into things, and this was a super fun match here. Blake Christian got to get a big moment. I think he's also another one that's going to be set up for a big year here in GCW and beyond GCW.
I know that he's back to doing some stuff with Impact, it looks like, and he was there a little bit before he went to the WWE. He's a guy who just didn't get a fair shake in the WWE. It's that simple. Like, I mean, they just like hit him away on 205 Live, didn't really do anything with him, and that was that, unfortunately.
Like, a fair shake would be like more like he didn't get anything. He didn't even get out the off the blocks. It's just like, here's a guy for 2 weeks, actually he's gone now. It's like, well, what happened here? But that was a weird time for everybody. So
true. Yeah. The finish of this one was awesome. Blake Christian does a Fosbury flop to the outside, catches him in a scorpion death lock position, or death drop position, but turns it into a tombstone pile driver on the outside, rolls in Leo, does his front flip double stomp. I mean, I was pretty blown away with the Fosbury flop into the tombstone. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that spot was really dope. I was blown away. Very transitional, super quick transitions. It's hard to do it on a little guy like Leo Rush and in the air, like crazy stuff. Yeah, crazy dope. I like that 450 double stomp finish. That's a really cool spot too. Yeah, good for Blake Christian getting a big moment. Leo Rush getting a victory over Leo Rush. He doesn't have a lot of matches, so when he does, it's a big moment.
Yeah, and I always love seeing Leo Rush out there because, as you said, no matter what's going on behind the scenes, like in any way, shape, or form, that dude is one of the best in-ring wrestlers, in my opinion, that you can find. So it's just awesome to see. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does going forward because I'll support him and watch him wherever he's at. So
same here.
After that, we had so Joey Janela versus Matt Cardona is the next match.
Ooh.
And you know, Cardona did his big Enter Sandman entrance, and you know he put a lot of thought into this, and there was like a whole hybrid of like ECW stuff going on with him. Like he came out drinking beer and spitting it like he was the Impact Players while Chelsea's holding the kendo stick. He's wearing a flannel vest like he's Mick Foley. He's obviously coming out to the Sandman's theme song. Chelsea's wearing like the Zack Ryder like half trunks half shorts gimmick thing. There was a lot going on.
They had
here.
A list of things on their refrigerator, like these are all the things we have to get over in this match. I need you to wear these pants. I'm gonna wear this shirt. I'm gonna wear this thing. We're gonna come out to this song. You're gonna carry this kendo stick.
Yes. Yeah, and Chelsea's wearing like the Chelsea 469 shirt and everything. Man, I'm gonna try not to miss any of the. I mean, I'm gonna miss
a lot happened here. A lot happened here. People started coming from everywhere. People were coming from under the ring. I think Doink and Dink were there at one point. Like, it was a lot was going on. There was a lot going on.
So at various points in this match, Smart Mark Sterling comes out in he's wearing a neck brace, and he's talking about how Joey Janela is not allowed to use the internet championship on Cardona. And I can't remember the order that all these things happened. We got Virgil coming out in a Vince McMahon mask. We had Hornswoggle under the ring.
I don't know.
Chelsea Green attacked a whole bunch of times. Marco Stunt came out to, you know, he had this showdown with Hornswoggle. And I love Marco Stunt. He was a Southern Underground Pro Bone Storm champion. I went to a lot of the shows in Nashville. Like, I love Marco, and I hate that he's kind of in the spot with AEW where, like, we don't see him. But it's like he comes back, and of course, he's defending Janela because they're tight, but like, right. It's like him and Hornswoggle squaring off. And
yeah.
And then, like, the big one, of course, is Brian Myers comes in dressed like Edge from One Night Stand 2 and does the spear spot that leads to Cardona hitting his Rough Rider or Sack Rider or Radio Silence, whatever you want to call it, through a door.
I thought that was the coolest looking spot of the match, the ending. That was cool.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the rest of it, though, was, I mean, it was, obviously, it was very overbooked. I mean, that's like so an understatement. But that was like what they were going for, though, because like, you know, Cardona was like, let's make this the most WWE style thing we possibly can.
Right. I think Cardona's still trying to get back. He has to be trying to get back because that was like, here's my audition tape. Like, I want to come back. Here's all the everything that you guys do. I'm doing it. He tried to do the T-shirt thing, but they just ended up ripping his T-shirt as soon as he threw it into the crowd instead of throwing it back. Like, it's just, I don't know. I like the Marco Stunt had Hornswoggle on the table. Janela had Cardona on the table outside. Stunt hits a double stomp through the table. Janela hits the elbow drop on the outside. That was a really cool visual, really cool spot. But too much, you guys. Relax.
Yeah. I think we all agree, including the people that were there live. Like, the match started off pretty hot because Cardona hits the Rough Rider immediately. And then Janela, I think he hit like a DVD through a door in the corner, like pretty much right after that. And the crowd was into it. But then, like, the more things that kept happening, the more they were just like, what are we watching right now? Like, what is this?
Started breaking down there.
They did pop pretty hard for the Brian Myers reveal though, because of the whole call back to One Night Stand and that stuff.
That makes sense. His best friend, he hasn't showed up in GCW to help defend him. Like, that thing worked, but the rest of it is like, all right. And but I see he got all of his major brothers into the thing. So
they plug Major Bendy's a whole bunch during the match. Mm-hmm. There is also the small link there where they were the Edge heads. So it's kind of perfect how like Myers wound up being the Edge during that.
Yeah. It was a tie-in.
Yeah.
They brought it back around. I see what you did, Cardona. You were tirelessly coming up with this thing, I'm sure.
We had a super chat from Dennis that has to do with this match here. It says, I think he's saying the number of run-ins for Cardona and Janela had to be record-setting. Yeah, it's probably way up there. I can't think of the last time something like that happened, especially on GCW, it's pretty much no rules, anything goes, but even then, you don't really see that. Now, after the match, Run DMC hits the speakers. Yes. And we have...
The run-ins were not over at this point.
But that place, and me too, I was here by myself watching the show and like jumping up and down like in my living room. For one, I haven't heard that Run DMC DX theme song in so long. And X-Pac comes out there and he looks great. Sean Waltman looks great. And the crowd went nuts for it. How did you feel about X-Pac being the one to come out and basically fight off Cardona and Myers after the match?
I thought, just like you said, X-Pac looks great. He looks like the best he's looked in like legit 20 years. He looks like he's ready to have a run. I know he's been talking about it pretty often in interviews and on Twitter and stuff. And confirmed, X-Pac, we see it. You are ready, dude. He looked awesome here. I was nervous because they started throwing trash in the ring right after the match was over. So things were really slippery. And as soon as X-Pac hit the ring, you know, he likes to do spin kicks and jumps and stuff. And he needs the ring to not be slippery. So it was nervous there for a little bit. But he hit a spin kick. He hit the X-Factor. Got his shit in. Got his pop. Run DMC, the King of Rock, hit the speakers. It was great.
It was. I marked out for that. I'm not going to lie.
I like X-Pac, so... I thought it was tight. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. X-Pac heat was always a BS term to me. Like, so he didn't never make me want to change the channel. I loved X-Pac.
He was always having badass matches when they were apparently saying this X-Pac heat stuff. Like, yeah, he was going for it. So yeah, I'm interested to see what it's maybe looking like he might be getting a Royal Rumble run at this point, looking like that. So, but I'm interested to see what he does, you know, throughout the year. It doesn't look like he's going to be stopping, because he looked great. So let's see what kind of matches he's into. Let's see what he's going to do.
I'm a little bit worried, but also like, I'm not saying it's going to necessarily be good, but I feel like the door is open for like the New Age Outlaws to be in GCW now, because like Billy Gunn and Road Dogg.
They keep doing these kind of like WWF X guys saying that this is an Outlaw Mud Show type thing. Just keep switching them out for Cardona and Jeff Jarrett, and yeah, they can definitely do it with Billy Gunn and the Ass Boys and their friend.
We had a either a super chat or a humper chat that I've got from Brent Lockman that had to do with the Cardona and Janela match. It says the Cardona Janela fever dream disguised as a match was the moment I decided I was too sober for this show, and then I fixed that. So there you go, Brent. I hope you had a good time watching the show.
Yeah, that makes sense, Brent. That was the time. That's why they were heavy on the PBR advertisement, because it's like, no, you better get a drink for this one. There's going to be a lot going on out here.
Sounds about right. After that, we had Mance Warner coming out, and he's been gone from GCW for a while on injury. And you know, that was a bummer, because of course you would have figured that Matthew Justice and Mance Warner probably would have been in the mix for the tag titles or something big on this show.
Definitely.
You know, good to see Mancer though. You know, he comes out and he basically just talks about how great GCW is. That brings out Atticus Kogar, who he basically wants to, you know, use a confrontation, and he's talking about how 440 are like the real kind of outlaws of GCW and all this stuff. And Mance was saying, well, I'm not cleared to wrestle, but I'll fight you. Right. And 440 comes out. They're all fighting. This leads to more of the Second Gear crew helping out. Matthew Justice comes out. The lights go out. We hear the whistle. We know it's Bill Alfonso. And Sabu is in the ring. How do you feel about this entire segment? And I just, me personally, I feel like this was, I hate to say this, but I think that they were expecting Walk to get like a way bigger reaction after all of this. Like, I think they were envisioning like the whole crowd doing the Pantera song all together.
Right.
And it just kind of fell a little flat, but it was great to see all these people on the show. Like you keep saying, these are all people that are staples of Game Changer Wrestling that like definitely needed to be featured on the show. Right. So yeah, how did you feel about all this?
Yeah, there was parts of it that I really liked. I like Mansur, so it was great to see him. That was an unexpected thing. I wasn't expecting to see him out there with his knee. It's still super new, it feels like. It doesn't feel like he was going to be back in any time soon. So that was great to see. It's great to see Atticus out there getting their moment. But yeah, exactly like I said, it's like this little tiny blip of a moment between matches to fill time or what. I don't even know. Not even to fill time, just to like get these guys a nice little moment. Like, they deserve it, but they deserve a way bigger moment than what's going on here. And then like Sabu was just at the show last week, so the moment didn't seem as big. We just saw it at the Detroit show that they had, and it didn't do what, yeah, just like you said, I think they expected to have a big like, yeah, big ECW chant of Walk and everybody's reminiscent, but it just didn't. It just kind of felt like, okay, that was a thing. It didn't really work out for everybody, which is sad because a lot of those people involved are cool and they deserve these moments.
For sure. And I mean, that's a great point too, because we did see Sabu in Detroit. I mean, like, that's where he's from. And right. Like, that was, it was kind of, I mean, it was cool to see tonight, but it kind of was cooler in Detroit.
Exactly.
But we did have a super chat from Ken Shiro about this. He says that Atticus got done so dirty, man. And
it's a bummer. Exactly what he said in the promo, they did it to him. So
yeah,
pretty unfortunate.
Yeah.
unfortunate.
I also, the Sabu thing and the whole Walk thing, I had this whole thing envisioned in my head, and I don't like to like get married to fantasy booking because I feel like it ruins wrestling for people when they like have all their own ideas about what they want to see on the show and then it doesn't happen and they get really angry about it. Mm-hmm. But I had this whole thing envisioned where, so it's like AJ Gray was in the ladder match and Mance can't wrestle. And I'm thinking like, do they do Matthew Justice and Rob Van Dam as a tag team? Like, and that's, they come out to Walk and in the Hammerstein. And I just had this like kind of built up in my head and we didn't see it, but I think it would be really cool to see Rob Van Dam involved with the Second Gear crew. Cause like they use the music. They're basically all like ECW guys that just weren't old enough to be in ECW at the time, you know? So
I think RVD said in his last little documentary that he has CTE possibly. So I think RVD might be done with professional wrestling. Shout out to RVD though. One of the greatest ECW wrestlers of all time. One of the best ever. So yeah.
Absolutely. And I didn't know that about the CTE. I hope that he's all right. Cause that is a dude who definitely gave his body to professional wrestling for us as fans, for sure.
Every single match he went 1,000,000% and he didn't care which show, where he was at, he was going to do RVD, and he did it in WWE when they tried to get him not to. He was still doing it. So, yeah, man, he gave his body for everything, and I hope he's, you know, I hope he lives an okay life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolute legend. Up next, we had Alley Catch versus Ruby Soho. Now, I thought this was a really good match. And let me know if you agree. Did it seem real strange that Alley Catch lost that match?
Super strange. I don't know what. I think they're trying to tell a story. Like, I could see what story they're trying to lead to, but it's like, I don't think you need to tell that story. I think the buildup to this match with her going out and them doing that great video package, and what everything that Alley Catch has been through to get to this, why? Ruby Soho doesn't go. She doesn't wrestle here. She wrestles in AEW. Like, this is Alley Catch's promotion. This is her moment. This is her time. Still a great match. Two great wrestlers. So that's the thing. But yeah, I was just the same. Like, wait, that's interesting. Why is that happening?
Yeah, I thought that when Allie hit that pussy pile driver, it was over. I was like, boom, got her. I mean, because this is the thing. None of us are debating that Ruby Soho isn't great and that Allie Catch isn't great. But like you said, this was all set up perfectly for Allie Catch to get this big win tonight. Mm-hmm. The finish was Allie Catch looking like she was trying to hit the pile driver off of the ropes. And Ruby reversed it into the riot kick, kind of brought her off the top rope with her to get the W. But as we both said, I mean, it was a really good match. Just
hearing it again, I'm confused again. I'm like, what? Why did they do that?
Yeah. Now, but like you said, I can see them kind of, I don't want to say dragging this out because it will be good. But
it's like, what are you building to? Isn't this the big show?
That's exactly how I feel. And and we'll talk about that with Effie and Jeff Jarrett also, because that had a lot of the same kind of vibes of just like, why would they win those matches? Now if Ruby Soho is going to be a part of GCW pretty regular going forward, that might be a little different, because then you're kind of building, because one thing about GCW is they don't have a ton of female wrestlers on their like regular roster, and some of them that they do, like Sadiqa and stuff, are really more on like the deathmatch side,
right?
And like, maybe like if you're going to have access to Ruby more often and you've got her and Allie Catch and you can kind of form more of that. Like,
I think they see the success of what they're getting with Thunder Rosa. And they're just like, yo, if we can get that, if this is what this is, then okay, I could see that. If they're going to bring in Ruby, like they've been bringing in Thunder in different shots, then I could see it. But if this is just like a one shot, I'm very confused. Either way, I think Allie Catch should have got the victory. It seems like that's what this was. I don't know. I guess they wanted to put some sympathy on the whole crew, and they did.
That's a very good point. The whole SGC, outside of AJ, AJ had a pretty good night.
Right.
But, man, all right. So we're all on the same page. I'm seeing a lot of the same in the chat. Everyone just seems really confused about the outcome of that one.
Right.
Once again, nothing against Ruby Soho. Just this was Allie Catch.
Ruby's amazing, but it's like, what? That doesn't make sense. Course.
Exactly. Another head scratcher. We had Jeff Jarrett against Effie. Now, this feud heading into this essentially started with Effie declaring before the Battle Royal that Homicide wound up winning. Effie was talking about how he wanted to go off to Hammerstein and win the GCW World Championship. And Effie is one of the most over people in all of Game Changer Wrestling, no doubt. And Jeff Jarrett came out of the complete blue, hit him over the head with a guitar. And then like a few weeks later, he does the same to Allie Catch and kind of like drags her around with a guitar. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. Like, now all of a sudden, Jeff Jarrett is kind of like this, I don't want to say Undertaker, but that is the obvious comparison.
Exactly what he's doing.
I will say this though, it's kind of dope hearing the My World remix when he comes out. Like, I like that guitar riff. It's very nostalgic for me. Yeah. Like, I hated it when it was happening. Like, I was a TNA fan and I hated him as the champion.
Oh, it was the worst music to hear in TNA.
But now here, hearing it's like it hits me in the nostalgia feels hearing that guitar riff.
Yeah.
But this match was
what's
very
going
bizarre.
On here. I don't know what is this? Why is again, what's Jeff Jarrett doing here? Why is he in this match with Effie? Like, Effie should have been in a match. I don't like, they should have. What? I'm confused about this whole thing. Why is Jeff Jarrett in this match doing an Undertaker crossplay? Confusing. So confusing. I'm still confused. I don't know why. I don't know what this is leading to. Like, it's just a funny haha, but like, don't do a funny haha at Hammerstein, man. You got to put Effie in there with somebody else. He has to be in there with somebody that deserves this, like he does, you know? So, confused.
And it was even more confusing when you consider that before the show, the two people that Lauderdale put over were Allie Catch and Effie. They're like, where are you going to find another Allie Catch? Where are you going to find another Effie? And they both lost in like really strange circumstances. Just weird. Now, the finish of this match I thought was actually pretty good. He hits the stroke on Effie. Effie no-sells it, but then he hits the guitar over Effie's head. He no-sells it, and then he hits him with the stroke for the three. But this
the
was
stroke
another.
With the thing around his neck was pretty cool looking, though. I like that.
It was. I agree. Yeah, for sure. But this was another one of those just kind of like WWE type of match. Like, it was like, it was a lot of storytelling, a lot of taunting. I kind of expected that, you know, them kind of doing their taunts and Effie doing his thing and making Jared uncomfortable and all this stuff. But like the match, I don't think was like great. Like Effie, like you were saying, Effie just, I don't even hate Jeff Jarrett. Like it's just one of those things that's like with Effie's position in GCW and what he's, where he's at in his career, he, like this should have been him in like a, in a quote unquote in a real match, you know?
Yeah, so. Why Jeff Jarrett? Why here? Why this? Effie deserves so much more. Like I'm almost like you guys should have just like put Effie and Alley Catch against each other in the, in a big match at this point because the things you guys did here is weird.
It's actually a good point. They could have had Bussy is not fine, and they finally fight each other.
That's kind of what I thought they were leading to for a little bit, but then they were like, psych, here's Jeff Jarrett.
Wild card. We had a super chat here from J.K. Schwall. Says, killer tag team, Jensen and Reg. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this.
Yes.
And by the way, Reg is somebody that, you know, when – I've been covering GCW for a while here on Fightful, and when I was trying to think of like who would be some good people to have and on and come and talk about this stuff, Reg was a no-brainer because I'm always seeing you tweeting about the indies. You're always promoting wrestlers, like buying the merch, supporting everybody. I mean, like, so it's awesome to have Reg here with me, and I'm a big fan of Grapsody, so this is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I love independent wrestling, as extremely noted. Always going to independent wrestling shows. I've been to a bunch of GCW shows, so this was a fitting moment. I was very, 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 very close to going to the show at Hammerstein, but like COVID was in there, so I couldn't.
yeah, for sure.
COVID was definitely in there. I just could not be in there too. So
another super chat from Ball. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but thank you very much for the super chat.
Appreciate that.
Says, man, that felt like a LOL, I'm Jeff Jarrett and I win. But I guess Effie wasn't talking, or so it wasn't taking Double J seriously.
They did a TNA Jeff Jarrett match. Why did they do that? Why did they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that. Interesting choice. Interesting choice is what I'll say.
That was one, I guess, fear going into the show. And I honestly thought, like, if I had to put money on any match on this show to be like, what's the guaranteed W for your money? I would have been like, oh, Effie over Jarrett. Like there's no way Jarrett's beating Effie on this show.
Yeah.
But going into it, I was talking to some people about it and they're like, well, you know, Jeff Jarrett really hates losing. And I'm like, that's true. But like, they couldn't do it.
That was like a thing back in the day. Like that doesn't still happen, but no, it's apparently like still real. Jeff Jarrett is still Jeff Jarrett. Like Global Wrestling Federation. That's what it is.
yeah. The return of, we're going to get a big Global Force versus GCW feud soon.
Oh man, Jeff Jarrett. What a guy. Never change, Jeff. He's like, I haven't and I never will.
Yes. Next
you
match.
Yeah, I think what the end of that is, you can't have that match and you can't the Janela match. You can't have two of those matches in the same show.
Back to back, especially.
There was the match in between the Alley Catch, but still you can't have two of those.
Very true. Very true. Especially like as we're saying, two of the most unexpected outcomes also went back to back. Like Alley Catch losing and then Effie losing. Mm-hmm. And Alley Catch isn't technically SGC, but like she might as well
be. Yeah. Like, she's in the squad pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Next match we had, which I was very surprised when the graphic went up, we had Jon Moxley defending the GCW championship against Homicide. And I looked on Twitter and I literally just typed in Briscoes and started searching because I was like, are they off the show? Like,
most
what's
people
going
were
on?
Very surprised about what's going on. My timeline was the same. Everybody was like, well, what's up with the Briscoes? Like, people were tweeting Sean Rossap, like, what happened to the Briscoes?
Yeah. And
we are so impatient. We can't wait. We're like, well, what's going on? Why are they doing this match already?
Exactly. And the one thing I defaulted to, I was like, it's got to mean that Gage is in the tag match. Like, that was like, you know. But
I still was thinking that FTR was going to show up for some reason, so I didn't think about Gage, but very nice surprise.
Yeah, and the FTR thing, that day will come. We will get the Briscoes versus FTR. Yeah. I just think it'll probably happen on AEW.
It's going to happen on AEW is what it's
Yeah. But the match itself, we had Moxley and Homicide. You know, this is one of those where I feel like it hurts it a little bit that they couldn't do more of like the DCW type stuff in this one. Because Moxley really leans into the deathmatch type wrestling while he's there and being like the real crazy dude who's willing to do anything. And Homicide, I mean, a bona fide legend in wrestling. I mean, it's really cool, especially in New York, to see him doing this in Hammerstein and, you know, former Ring of Honor champion, you know, forever ago and like still doing his thing, which is really cool. But how did you feel about this match? Because I thought it was a solid match, but like, yeah. I would have liked to see this, like, I would have liked this, not even necessarily a death match. I just would have liked to see more out of it personally. But, you know, Moxley's just kind of getting back into the swing of things. And, you know, he did win with a Death Rider onto the chair. So, I mean, it was a nice finish. How did you feel about the match?
Yeah, I think, like, if I were predicting what a Jon Moxley and Homicide match was going to look like, this wasn't what I expect either one of them strategy-wise to do. So it was an interesting contest. I mean, just like you said, Moxley's fresh back. I mean, he's not going to super go for it, but like I expected a little bit more with the setting, Homicide's back in Hammerstein, all these elements, everything seems set up. The crowd always, as always, every time Jon Moxley shows up, are just so into him no matter where he goes, no matter what he does. So just kind of, I think this is at this point, they knew that they were short on time. They knew like, yo, it's getting bad out here. What are we going to do? And this kind of, I think this kind of was affected by that too, where they were just like, we got to get through these things.
How did you feel about the result? Because going into it, I was thinking Mox would retain because it is Mox. And if he is going to be committed to GCW at all going forward, like he does need to be treated like one of, if not the top guy while he's there. Yeah. But it was also Homicide in New York. I mean, like the stars all kind of aligned for him to maybe get the W. So how do you feel about the outcome with Mox retaining?
A lot of people on my timeline were into Homicide winning. I think that was kind of like a foregone conclusion. But I think this is just like GCW has been setting themselves up for Mox for a while. Like they've loved, like anytime they could have Mox, they wanted to have Mox, and it looks like they're going to be able to have more Mox. They're going to keep him as the champion. Like there's still so much more for him to do. They went through a lot of time, obviously, that he was gone. So I think they still have a couple of things they want to accomplish with him as the world champion. So I wasn't really super surprised that he went over here.
Yeah. And I think that it was tonight set up really well for the future with Mox as the champion.
Right.
Because so many people watched this show tonight and this was probably the biggest independent wrestling show ever. I mean, you know, when you really look at it and I'm assuming people watched from the start to the finish as I would, you know, imagine that they did. And I think the callback in a few months is going to be AJ Gray winning that brass ring, and he will be the one to beat Moxley for that title,
which is awesome and amazing and perfect. And thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's so, what I want to see too.
If that's what this is leading to, it feels like they're leading to AJ Gray and Mox showing down somewhere. I'm very interested to see, could it be WrestleMania weekend? Possibly.
It could. I think that'd be a great move.
Yeah.
Cause AJ Gray, man, like he was the champion for all of like a few minutes. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
every time he's still getting tweets on a weekly basis about when are you getting your rematch? When are you getting this? It's been like close to 2 years now. It's been a while now. So yeah. It's great to see him get that ring.
They did that whole 18 months with RSP, not giving Gage the shot. And AJ was just kind of boxed out during that.
Right.
Let me pull this one up. Cole sent a super chat, says really awesome analysis by you both. It was a meh pay-per-view for him. A lot of missed opportunities. Interested in what the AEW relationship continues to be.
Yeah, that's that Ruby Soho thing kind of comes into play. Like, did they say that she couldn't? Because if they did, that's awful. Like, they say she couldn't take the L. If they did, that sucks. You know what I mean? I hope it's not one of those types of relationships at this point, because GCW doesn't need that type of thing. Like, I don't think, like, if Ruby Soho lost here, that people would be like, well, she's not a great AEW. No, people were just like, this is Alley Catch's moment. This is the situation. This is a different thing, so I'm interested to see what it is moving forward to all the relationships. The Ring of Honor relationship is still looming here. Jonathan Gresham was supposed to be here. That was a big surprise too, that I didn't really mention earlier when we talked about the match, had zero. I was waiting for Jonathan Gresham to show up on my screen. I had zero idea that he wasn't in this match. There was no. It's kind of like the Sasha Banks at SummerSlam moment where it's like the match is happening. They're like, actually, he's not here. And it's like, well, why didn't you just, you could have easily have tweeted earlier today, hey, Jonathan Gresham is not here. We're going to do a switch up. Lio Rush is going to be here. There's no reason for me to go into the show thinking that Jonathan Gresham is going to be here and him not be here. So,
yeah. And
I know those situations get touchy for wrestling companies, but the easiest way is to tell me.
Yes, absolutely. And Glennie Kodra sent a super chat earlier that echoes those sentiments, says, would like to see lineup changes announced earlier. Yes. So, I mean, that's not a whole lot to ask. I mean, right. We'll always hear card subject to change and all that stuff. But I saw another chat. I don't know if we read it. And if not, I will get to it when we're reading them at the end. But I did see somebody mention earlier that they ordered the show specifically to see Jonathan Gresham, and exactly. That's a bummer.
They could have said that on the pre-show even. At some point, you can let me know Jonathan Gresham is not here. I hate that. That sucks.
Yeah.
In any company. I hated it when they did it with Sasha Banks, and I hated it here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate. Nonetheless, Jon Moxley wins the title and retains the GCW title. And we're both on the same page. We both want to see Rich Homie Juice get that title eventually.
Boom. Yes, let's see it. It seems like if the big show they're planning for is not the WrestleMania weekend, it seems like they have another. Brett has been talking about online. He's having all these ideas. So it seems like he has another big crazy idea in the works somewhere around the country that he wants to do. So it's going to be a crazy year for GCW. They're after this show, I think this really lights a fire under their ass. Like, damn, we did that. Like, what can we do next?
Yeah. And that was a cool thing heading into this show is, you know, going back to last year with our spring break and the big, you know, Gage finally winning the title from RSP. Mm-hmm. And then they built on that with, you know, Mox and Cardona and then Cardona and Gage, and then Mox coming in and winning the title, and just kept building and building and building to Hammerstein.
Yep.
And now it's on them to take this momentum and just keep it going everywhere.
Right.
I think they're going to be here in Atlanta. I think in the next couple months.
It's February, I think. Yeah, it's pretty soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely intend to be there live and I'm expecting a really good show, and that's another one where AEW, you know, they're pretty rooted here in Atlanta. So like, I think it's very possible we could see a lot of AEW crossover in that show too. So
that's what's, I was actually thinking about this the other day, is that GCW is touring legit almost every weekend. Like they have shows, they're like WWE. They're on the road more than AEW is even almost at this point. Like they're doing 2 and 3 shows a week, every single week. It's like, what's going on here? You guys are like a real number 3 out here. So shout out to them for doing that. It's going to get bigger and bigger at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I sure hope so. Cause this can't be the peak of it. This should just be the start. Nerd Guru sent a super chat about the Moxley and Homicide match and said also F Bully Ray. There were a lot of loud F Bully Ray chants in the building tonight. For good reason. I mean, what he said about Mox was ridiculous. So.
Why are you even saying that? What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, wrestlers they don't owe us anything, Bully Ray.
Exactly.
It's not 1998 anymore, bro.
Right. Another super chat from Action 00007 said, haha, I was behind on the show. Oh, so earlier he had asked about the Briscoes, and he said he was behind on the show, and he assumed that Mox and Homicide was the main event.
He was also the same thing, confused about the Briscoes.
And he said, my dumbassery cost me a 5 spot. Oh, man. Well, Action, I'm glad you're caught up to speed now on what was going on tonight.
Appreciate that.
The main event of the show, we had the Briscoes, Mark and Jay. They come out to the ring. They issue their open challenge to the tag team titles. First out comes Matt Tremont. And once I heard that music, I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be Gage. Let's go. Cause like I had it in my head, like he's got to be on the show. They kept him in the promos. Like he was such a big part of the buildup. Well, he was really no part of the buildup, unfortunately, cause he wasn't there, but like leading into the announcement for Hammerstein, it was all about Nick Gage. He was popping up on AEW and having death matches against Chris Jericho. Like he was the talk of all of wrestling. And
yeah, him still being in the opening promo was a big, that was a big thing too. Cause I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Cause they haven't said anything about him. And there he is right there. The last one in this promo. So they kind of gave us a little, let us know.
Yeah. I think those fans would have been real disappointed if Nick Gage wasn't there.
Oh yeah. When they started chanting for him, I'm like, if this is not Gage, this is going to be bad.
But you know,
luckily it all worked out. Here came Dewey. Nick Gage hits the scene and the crowd goes wild. Nick Gage energy, I've seen it live in person with my own eyes. When Nick Gage hits the scene and the crowd is there and they're all jumping around and living in the moment, there's nothing like this, man. Nick Gage is on another level. His fans are insane. They will definitely try to murder, death, kill you if you come at him crazy. So
yeah.
This was the perfect culmination. There's a lot of things that were bad and weird in this show, and I would have done differently. But ending the show with Nick fucking Gage, there would be, I tweeted it earlier, there would be no GCW if it wasn't for Nick Gage. This has to happen. He has to be in this main event spot. He has to be there. So it was a perfect way to end the show. You have to end the show with Nick Gage.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And the fans went nuts for it. It was great to see. Tremont and Gage have a long history. I mean, I remember back in like CZW. Yeah. I mean, it's wild.
Been a long time. Those two.
So, and to see them and the Briscoes, it was surreal. I mean,
Briscoes too. Yeah, they've been fighting Nick Gage for 20 years now. I remember seeing a highlight video. This is one of the first videos I saw of CZW. It was the Briscoe brothers against the Hate Club, Nick Gage and Nate Hatred. That was in 2001, dude. It's 2022 now. So they have been fighting on pay-per-view for more than 20 years, man. They've been through it all here. So that was a great way. The Briscoes are the perfect way to end this. It really sucks that they only had not that long a time. I think they had like less than 10 minutes or something. It was very, very short amount of time, yes. Pay-per-view time. There's nothing they could do in this situation. So,
exactly. Yeah. As Volub says, screw the pay-per-view time restraints.
But honestly, who cares about traditional pay-per-view, dude? Throw that out. Let's just go on Fight TV and go for 20 hours like you guys usually do. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, just give the pay-per-view purchasers the WCW treatment, and they miss the main event, and they have to watch it online later.
Dude, we'll show you DDP and Goldberg on Thursday. We'll show you the finish to that.
Yeah, it's funny you bringing up CZW and like how you used to watch it back then. I used to find clips on like Kazaa and LimeWire and that kind of stuff.
Remember? I think that's exactly where I found those clips. That's where I discovered Amazing Red. I've been in love with it.
Yes!
I've discovered Amazing Red video at like 2 a.m. one night in like 2001. And I was like, this guy, who is this guy? What is this? My mind was blown. And ever since that moment, I've been trying to do running shooting star presses on the ground. Never works out. I can't do anything like him. But yeah, as soon as I saw Amazing Red, I was like, that was like my reintroduction to independent wrestling, because I kind of knew a little bit about independent wrestling because in WCW and WWF they talked about it, but not really. And so to see that in a whole nother world, and he's doing Phoenix splashes and all kinds of crazy stuff, like that was a game-changing moment. That moment was the prelude to these moments that happens tonight, and having Game Changer wrestling in Hammerstein Ballroom. Nick Gage ended the show. Briscoe brothers, they used to not be able to get into wrestling shows because they were too young. So
yeah,
this is cool.
Back when they're wearing spandex, like the full body spandex,
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that's such a blast from the past. Like I was exactly like you with Amazing Red. I remember seeing him for the first time on Kazaa or LimeWire, one of those like Napster offshoot things. Yeah. And I remember immediately going to like all the message boards and being like, is Amazing Red better than Rey Mysterio? Like, well, that was like my big thing. I was like, this guy's incredible.
Yeah,
and he had all those clips from like him and Loki are having like Matrix style fight scenes and stuff. It was, man, man, it's wild how far we've come with that now, because now it's just so accessible. And that was like, yeah, that was exactly. That was like the in-between between tape trading and where we are now, was like having to like find this stuff on these weird apps back right. in the day.
Yeah, I think that Raising Red video was like a 2-minute video, and I would just watch that 2-minute video like 5 million times. Now it's like I can go and find 20 Amazing Red matches for free on YouTube right now of any time that I want. So I always say, the kids these days, you're so damn spoiled. Wrestling's so accessible. The WWE Network, every wrestling company has their own streaming services, like High Spots and Independent Wrestling TV, all these things. It's like, damn, dude, it's cool that they think Pluto TV. I watch Pluto TV all the time. They have yep. free wrestling 24 hours a day. It's crazy. So
I love it. Pluto TV is a great place to watch wrestling. Absolutely. Yeah. We had a super chat about the main event from Zero Fear 94. Said, I got worked, thought Nick Gage wasn't going to show.
I did too. I heard a full story about the things that happened with Nick Gage and GCW, and I was like, oh, he's not going to be here. Psych, they must have planted that story. Great job, GCW. Got me good. I didn't think he was coming back. And here he was, man, in all his glory with the song blaring through the speakers. He got to yell and cuss and get his gang over, and everybody was excited. Perfect ending.
And we got the strong MLJ ring entrance announcement for Nick Gage. Like,
yes.
No, in my opinion, there's no one better. It hyped me up for, because you can see it on him. Like, Nick Gage's music hits and MLJ is jumping up and down and pacing around the ring.
So
I mean,
excited. I want to think that Brett didn't tell Emil that Nick Gage is going to be there, and he just surprised him right there, because it looked like that. So, yeah, yes. That was perfect. You got to have Emil on the Nick Gage call. Got to let him yell for his gang. You got to let him end the show like he did. That was the way, man. That was the way. They ended it right. It got a little wonky in the middle with Jeff Jarrett and Matt Cardona, but they ended it how they should end it. The whole crew was in the ring drinking beers, enjoying themselves. Super dope.
Yep. And the match itself ended with Nick Gage hitting the choke breaker for the 1-2-3. Mm-hmm. Armando Gonzalez sent a super chat. Thank you very much, Armando. Says, the last hour stunk. Briscoes deserved better. So the thing is, like, if this wasn't GCW, I could kind of understand where you're coming from. But, like, mm-hmm. Nick Gage is the face of the entire company.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I think that was
the Briscoes were just like, they played their part the way that they needed to. This whole thing is leading to the Briscoes and FTR. That's what everybody wants. They're just a placemat for Nick Gage needed this moment. Like, and they couldn't make him the world champion again, because that's not what they're going to go back to. So making him the tag team champion worked out the way that they needed it to.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought the crowd, they, you know, like we said at the top of the show, they weren't totally into everything as we probably would have expected, to like the level they would have been.
Right.
But I mean, Gage getting the W, him and Tremont being together.
Sent them home happy.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. There was a super chat from Skywalker Club. Says, got to be honest, I'm not crazy for the hardcore stuff. Danielson, Styles, Rollins, Hangman are the type of wrestlers I watch for. To each his own. I love all those wrestlers too.
You said Danielson. Did you see him after his last match? He was a fucking bloody mess, dude.
Yeah. 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 Very true.
That was a
yeah.
very interesting point. A whole GCW show, zero blood, no blood throughout the whole thing, because you can't have blood, and Hammerstein is a thing. And they did a whole show with no blood and no light tubes. What a thing.
Right. And that's the thing with the main event. Like, they did the best they could given the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Like, if this was a regular GCW show, Nick Gage would have and Matt Tremont would have used a ton of light tubes and went so through much. Glass plates, and it would have been this extravaganza of a
blood. Yeah, it would have been nasty if they would have really went for it. So
exactly. So within the confines of what they were working with, I thought they pulled it off well. And like we've both said, that was the right way to finish the show off for sure. Mm-hmm. We got some super chats that I want to get to before we get out of here. I'm just going to run through the list that I've got here in front of me. And thank you so much to Luis for putting all this together for me, making it very easy over here. If you have any more super chats or humper chats, you can send to humperchat.com. You can do super chats.
Super chats, you guys. You guys are dope.
Yeah, absolutely. You're showing a lot of support tonight. We really appreciate it. You can keep sending those in, and we'll make sure to answer and read out every last one for you. Make sure, as always, you're hitting that like button and you're subscribed to the channel right here, youtube.com/Fightful. We had Christian J with the Humper Chat says, two great guys. I like the Weekender podcast that you do on Fightful Select, Steven. They're great, but this is mainly for Reggie and Grapsity guys. Love listening to Grapsity every week. Keep up the great work.
Hey, appreciate that. Thank you guys for listening to Grapsity. Appreciate that. That's super.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Christian. That's awesome. So he's consuming all the Fightful talent over here. He's listening to The Weekender. He's listening to Grapsity. He's watching the post show. Here,
Fightful all the times.
Let's go. We got a Humper Chat from Daniel R. Says, hi, guys. Hope you're doing well. Question. We don't know how ROH is coming back. Do you think GCW or another promotion, maybe a new promotion, will take over ROH's place, like the third or fourth promotion behind WWE, AEW, and Impact? What do you think about that, Reg?
I think GCW is already there.
If I do too.
Keeping it real. So ROH is the one that's going to be fighting to get something. And they have announced a show for WrestleMania weekend. Jonathan Gresham and Bandido to unify the championships is in the main event. So there is a little bit of things. They have said that they're coming back. Nobody knows what's going to happen after that, but they do have one show. They're just going back to being originally how they were as an independent promotion, one show at a time. So if they have a successful show, maybe there'll be another one. So we just got to support, I think. But the main thing is GCW has already overtaken ROH as the independent promotion of the world at this point.
I totally agree. Everything you said, I see GCW as the clear number three promotion in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And yep. Ring of Honor, I'm interested to see what the reboot looks like. I mean, yeah. If they get enough great talent committed, I mean, obviously Gresham and Bandido are world-class, and whoever they can get involved, I'll definitely watch and I'll support it. But I think GCW is, there's people that are not going to like hearing me say this, I think GCW is the number two professional wrestling company in the world behind AEW. I mean, I consider WWE to be something completely different at this point.
Yeah, they don't really count, really. They're on some other shit.
Yeah, for sure. So
it's just how it is. So, yeah.
We had another super chat from Dan B. Thank you very much, Dan. Says, I love the Hall of Fame last night. It didn't help that Southeast First was on a Friday where the much smaller crowd came across as much louder, even though that's not the case from clips in person tonight. Yeah, so if y'all haven't watched it, go on independentwrestling.tv and watch Southeast First from Action Wrestling. It was
just
past Friday.
Shout out to homie AC Mack.
Mack of all trades.
Independent Wrestling World Champion. Amazing. The after promo, all that. Amazing scene. I loved it. So cool.
So great. I'm so bummed I didn't go live. I'm like an hour to an hour and a half from the venue, and I just couldn't finish my work in time to get out there. But I watched live. Like, one of my best friends is John Mosley, who does commentary there. And man, that was a great show. AC Mack, man, because after being the Southern Underground Pro Bonestorm champion, the Action Wrestling champion, like, he's pretty much been the number one contender for the IWTV title for a long time now.
Right.
And like you said, with the pre-match speech, with that post-match speech, was like one of the best speeches I've ever heard in wrestling.
So good.
So good. Yeah.
AC Mack on the mic. Like I said, every time I've tweeted it a couple times, if AC Mack is on the show, make sure he gets that mic before he gets into the ring. That's the only thing. Same for Frontman Jaw. Frontman Jaw's on your show. Let that man talk before he starts to wrestle, because it's going to enhance the wrestling. That's all
yes.
It is.
Yeah. I'm a big Jossie fan as well. If you're a referee that has not refereed for AC Mack before, just make sure your arms are ready, because you're going to be holding something up in the air for a while.
Oh, so cool, man. And for him to defeat Alex Shelley is just like perfect, because everyone loves Alex Shelley. Everyone wants to have a match with Alex Shelley. So defeating Alex Shelley is like an amazing 5,000 cherries on top.
Yes. And I will do a cheap plug. If you want to check out independentwrestling.tv, you can use code FIGHTTALK. It helps me out when I'll use that. I'm not just shilling, but like, that really is like, you get so much bang for your buck for $10 a month on that service.
If you don't have independent wrestling or high spots, you're just not supporting enough. They're both $9.99. Independent wrestling TV, IWTV, puts up so many wrestling shows, like 20 to 30 a week. There's millions. You'll never run out of wrestling shows. It's overwhelming at times, but it's a great investment. You get to see all your favorite wrestlers. Everybody's always going at it sometimes. They have really cool shows like The Masked Wrestler, which they're going to have part two of. It's a great $10. Spend it. Supporting wrestlers, supporting companies. It's great for independent wrestling, man. It's just what, like what we're talking about here on a larger scale. So
absolutely. And also shout out to Fight TV. You can watch the replay of everything we're talking about. Yeah. GCW over there. So if you're a wrestling fan, the accessibility is there. Like, it's, you insane. Can watch this stuff on any device. We had a super chat from Eloquent. Says the crowd looked like a URL smack show, LOL. I'm not sure what does that mean. I'm missing it's the reference.
Yeah, that's a rap battles. And that's exactly what it is. I think they've had rap battles at the Hammerstein, which is hilarious. And yes, it did. And they kind of reacted like them too, which is funny enough. This crowd was a super interesting crowd because some of them, like you said, were full GCW, but then some of them were just like wrestling fans. Some wrestling fans are just like, there's a big show, I'm gonna be there, I don't know what to expect. Some wrestling fans go to shows and they're WWE fans and they're expecting WWE things, and they probably like the Jeff Jarrett parts and they probably like the Matt Cardona part. So
ooh, man. We got real mixed bag tonight.
Definitely.
We got another super chat from Easy Attack. Says, sup guys, just saying what's up. That was my first GCW pay-per-view I ever bought. They got to improve the production. That's fair. We said that at the beginning too. And I just don't know where to lay blame. It is a consistent thing with GCW, but it's also a consistent thing with Fight TV. I love Game Changer Wrestling. I love Fight TV. I don't want to blame anybody, but it is a topic that comes up often.
Yeah. Somebody has to do something. I thought that a big show like this, it would be ready. Like, there's moments where it just would cut off, or like there'd be like that rainbow screen or whatever. Somebody has to do something about what's going on here, because it's across the board. Anytime people watch a GCW show that are not used to GCW shows, main thing they talk about is production value. So they got to do that.
100%. Dennis with another super chat. Thank you, Dennis. Says, this was my first full GCW show. The chaos is great, but they need to work on harnessing it and better and fixing the pacing, especially when you have a hard out.
They usually do. That's what was so weird about it. That's why I'm like, you got to do what brought you to the dance. They just like went full Russo mode or something. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Not a super chat, but I will give a shout out to my buddy SP3. Says, just got home, glad to see you legends reviewing the show. So shout out to SP3. Hey, great people, SP3? There more super chats. I got super chats and humper chats. We're gonna get through all these. If you have more of these, keep them coming. Me and Reg will answer all your questions, read out your stuff, and give you our thoughts. We have Bryant Heath. I see him in here all the time. What's up, Bryant? Says, as someone who watches GCW regularly, I feel the show would have been way better received if it had been in Atlantic City due to them having more freedom. That really is the optimal spot for them, is Atlantic City.
Yeah, but it was just like the history, the look, the venue, Hammerstein. Like, just hearing Hammerstein as a wrestling fan and someone that was super into ECW, that was cool. But yeah. It would have been way better if they would have just did what they usually do, went to Atlantic City and just threw everything that they usually do, have Alex Colon out there in some nasty death match and just really burn it to the ground. But I mean, they always do that. So like next week when they're in wherever they're at, they're going to do that. The week after, they're going to do that. So it's kind of like, I don't know, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's a prestige to Hammerstein that's undeniable. Right. But hopefully what this show accomplished is it got a whole lot of new eyes on it that will translate into them, like you said, like the next time they're in Atlantic City, or I think they'll have a lot of freedom in Atlanta, Georgia, for instance. Like, some of these upcoming shows, maybe there will be a lot of new eyes on it. And I can see it already. I know there's going to be people who are going to go, wait, I watched the Hammerstein show and like there wasn't glass and blood and meat skewers and gossip plates and all this stuff. But there's going to be a part of the fan base that's like, hell yeah, why wasn't this on the Hammerstein show? So they're right now in the business of just growing their business, gaining momentum, getting new eyes, throwing stuff against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, and they've made a lot of really good moves up to this point. So
And this isn't it. This isn't like this last show that they're going to have. They're going to continue to do it. They're going to have another big show, and then they're going to have another big show. So everything's a learning experience. They're still super new, a super new promotion. They're still trying things. They're still seeing what works. Next Hammerstein show is going to be way different than this because they're going to know how to go for it. So it's all a learning thing.
Absolutely. We got another super chat from Wrestle Voice. Says, there was some good stuff here and some things that I'm sure GCW will improve on. The indies are about to explode. I can feel it. Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. I mean, indie wrestling has been thriving for a long time now, but
yeah,
you know, especially it's wild because a lot of people thought there was going to be a real lull when AEW came around because there just wasn't that many free agents, but all of them rose to the top. I mean, the cream always rises to the top in my opinion. And, and there's always that next, there's always those next guys up, like, you know, that'll never end. I don't think as long as there's wrestling fans out there that want to be wrestlers, there will always be another crop of people that will take those spots when they're available.
That's why it's always so funny when they say independent wrestling's dead. It'll never die, dude. As long as there's wrestlers, there's going to be independent wrestling. There's always going to be people that reject what's on top. There's people that don't watch AEW. There are people that don't watch WWE. They only watch their local wrestling company. Like, I don't go to wrestling shows or I don't like wrestling, but I go to blah, blah, blah every Saturday. And
go to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I still watch little people wrestling in the bar or whatever. I don't know. There's all kinds of things. So, yeah, independent wrestling will never die. It's actually, people thought that it was going to go down when AEW came, but AEW actually enhanced it for some odd reason because people are super going in for the independent wrestling because they know they can get a shot in AEW, and then AEW still letting guys do independent wrestling, still letting people do independent wrestling. So it's all thriving and it's getting better. And now people that are leaving AEW and leaving WWE and leaving Impact Wrestling aren't trying to go to another company. Some of them are like, I just want to go have fun in the independent wrestling scene. So we're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and go figure, what a concept, being an independent contractor that's actually an independent contractor.
Right.
You know, it isn't like that everywhere, unfortunately.
No, it's not.
Another super chat from Canna Coaster. Thank you very much. Says, first GCW show, overall not bad. Ending kind of sucked, but good God, some other matches were worth the money to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we pretty much echo those sentiments.
Yep.
I don't think that the ending sucked, but I also,
no, I don't think so.
I could totally understand someone from the outside not fully getting the grasp of like how big Nick Gage is to that audience.
Right. Yeah.
We got some more super chats. And once again, we got like five or so more left. If you have any last minute ones, we will make sure to address them, send the super chats or humperchat.com. Also, make sure you're subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. There's a lot of great stuff there. Sean's always breaking news. We got a bunch of podcasts. And hit the thumbs up button and subscribe. We had a super chat from Brian Heath. Thank you for another super chat. Says, love seeing everyone get a payday. And that was in regards to the like the battle royal and everything at the beginning of the show. So
definitely. Same. I agree.
Yeah. It's great to see a dude like Cole Radrick like get flown out, get paid, get in front of that audience. Like
Yo-Yo, Janai. Kai, all those people. Yeah, it was great.
Absolutely. And I'm with you too, like about Hoodfoot. Like he's gonna be a massive star. Like he's like,
so cool.
Yeah, it's been bubbling, but the crazy thing with him is like he wasn't doing death matches until a few months ago.
Right,
so like he was doing like Paradigm Pro, like UWFI stuff. He was just doing, you know, straight up pro wrestling, really mixing in the heavy hitting and the technical and all that stuff. But then once he dove into deathmatch wrestling, and because he bleeds like more than anybody, like the deathmatch scene swooped him up. They're like, he's one of us now. Like, now he's going to blow up.
Yeah. As a black wrestling connoisseur, as you know, there aren't a lot of black wrestling deathmatch workers. So he knows that there's a market because there's like four of them. Shout out to Phoenix Kid. He's one. AJ Gray does some sometimes. Billy Dixon has done a couple, but for the most part, a lot of black wrestlers are like, ugh.
That's true. I didn't actually really think about it like that, but that's a very good point.
So Hoodfoot's like, so now he's on the scene and he's all in. When he bleeds his head, he has a bald head, so his whole head is covered with blood when he bleeds. And so he hit the scene. What a way to hit the scene against Alex Colon. That's why this really surprised me when he came out. I'm like, wow, they really cheered for Hoodfoot. He made his mark.
Yeah.
Like no one could. Well, that was awesome.
So he's got to be a regular going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. This showed right here that he has to.
He did back-to-back shows in Chattanooga, Tennessee, like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And he lost so much blood that I am convinced that anyone who wrestles in the city of Chattanooga for the rest of their life will share some sort of DNA with Hoodfoot. Like that dude's blood is all over those buildings. God, dude, yeah. Love that dude. Shout out Hoodfoot. Mm-hmm. We had another super chat from Valab says, you know, Fonzie looks a lot healthier than he did 20 years ago. Shout out to Bill Alfonso.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, yeah. Fonzie looks great. He got new teeth. He's the man again. So,
and he's been involved in wrestling
right
since
down
like
down the middle, the baby. 50s?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
right.
Been a long time. He used to be a referee.
Yeah, with a full head of hair.
Manager of champions for Sabu and RVD for a long time. Taz, yeah, great.
Absolutely.
But he's still working. Some people probably don't know because there's a lot of people's first GCW shows, but he still works in like AIW with Matthew Justice. They do like a throwback thing. They do what they did tonight, but over there.
Shout out AIW. I am a big Joshua Bishop fan.
Yeah, Josh Bishop is. I thought he would be in a bigger position at this point too. He's still working on it, man. He's still going for it.
He just had a WWE tryout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to come of that, if anything. Yeah. And he would fit in great there because of his size and his youth. Yeah. But he's another one of those guys that I got to see. I mean, I literally probably saw his first match ever in front of people years back. And, like, to watch that kid go from, like, a literal teenager to, like, this basically, like, the second coming of Sid Vicious. I mean, like, so shout out to AIW. That's
really
a good
promo,
shot.
Too. Yeah, he has a shot. He'll
yeah. And I like Maserati West with him too. I think they're a good package. Mm-hmm. Another super chat from Ben Dixon. Thank you, Ben. Says, think we get Janela and X-Pac versus Cardona and Myers, or Janela, X-Pac, and Stunt versus Cardona, Myers, and Green?
I think Janela and X-Pac against Myers and Cardona is probably in the workings from what it looks like tonight. It looks like they're setting that up.
I'd agree. And the last super chat we've got here, and once again, if you get any last minutes ones in, we will address them, says, is from Skywalker Club. Thank you, Skywalker. Says, gotta be honest, I'm not crazy for hardcore. Oh, wait, I already read that. That was about Danielson, Styles, and Rollins, and Hangman Bean. Mm-hmm. But yes, thank you once again for the super chat, Skywalker.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
So overall, we don't have to do like a scoring system or star ratings or anything like that, mm-hmm. but overall, I guess some closing thoughts from you, Reg, on GCW. Like, what's kind of your real feeling coming out of the show?
I'm on the fence. I liked it. I liked a lot of moments. I think they ended on a great note. I think they began on a great note. I think they did a lot of things that they do well in GCW. But I think they could have done more. I think the people that got them to the dance should have been featured more. Atticus Coger, so many wrestlers I named earlier, you just know those are the ones. They need to be featured here. They need bigger moments. They need singles matches. This needs to be the GCW show that I see every week. I don't want a big WrestleMania style extravaganza. I don't need that. I need what brought you to the dance. I need the things that made me love GCW here again. So, you know, but regardless of that, they sold out Hammerstein. They had a big pay-per-view, big show. A lot of eyes are on the thing. Nasty Leroy got to talk on screen. He got to do some things. Virgil was there. There was a great AJ Gray got to get the brass ring. There were some moments that I liked, a lot of things that I liked. I like that GCW got to have that moment.
Yeah.
More than anything. That's super cool for them.
I feel the same way. It was a lot of people that me and you have been rallying behind for a long time. that got a big stage and a lot of eyes on them in a prestigious building and something synonymous with ECW. And there's going to always be the parallel between GCW and ECW. And this all just made sense. And it felt right. There was some misses, but overall, I was pretty happy with the show overall, just overall, for what it was. Big thank you to Luis Pulido for putting all these chats together for me and making this real easy tonight for me and Reg. Righteous Reg, tell the people where to find you before we get out of here, man.
At Graph City Podcast every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific for me, 12 Eastern. Me, Will Washington, and Philip Lindsay talk the weekend wrestling. RighteousReg.bandcamp.com. Very soon, AEW's Black History Month Hip Hop Project is going to hit the stores, hit the scenes. It's going to be great. There's going to announce some crazy things that I can't even believe are happening, are going to be announced very soon. So just keep your eyes peeled. Thanks to everybody for the super chats. Thank you for having me here. This has been super cool. GCW, I'm excited to see what happens here in this year. I hope this fucking pandemic leaves so I can go to some shows. I'm tired of not going to shows. I know y'all got some coming up in LA super soon that are looking cool, so I'm gonna go there. Let's do this. That's it.
Hell yeah. So thank you again to Reg for joining me today. If y'all want to follow me on Twitter, it's Fight Talk _ FIGHTTALK _. If you want to use my IWTV code, it's Fight Talk, all is one word, no spaces. Watch independent wrestling on there. I promise you, out of like the 6,000 shows they have on there, if you call yourself a wrestling fan and can't find something you like on IWTV, you're just not a wrestling fan. I'm convinced of it. You can obviously support FightfulSelect.com. That's the place to be for all of Sean Ross Sapp's breaking news, a bunch of extra podcasts like my Weekender talking indie wrestling. I do that every Sunday. We got Alex Pulowski's Sour Graps. I mean, just a ton of content over there. We got Rob and Maggie with their new show. So a lot of stuff over there, FightfulSelect.com. That's the most direct way you can support everything we do here at Fightful. And announcement that was actually made earlier today. Going forward, every Thursday, myself and Jeremy Lambert will be doing a new show called The Spotlight on this channel here at Fightful. I was a big fan of The Distraction. Great friends with Jeremy and Joseph. And this is kind of the new Thursday show that we're going to be doing for Fightful. And I'm really excited to be a part of it. And we're going to be highlighting really a little bit of everything from every company. But on top of it, we're going to highlight creators and content creators and like that kind of stuff too. We're going to find people who are involved in wrestling and give them shout outs and like really just try to help the whole community out and talk about the things we like about wrestling and the things that we don't like about wrestling. But y'all can look forward to that now every Thursday. That'll be at 2 p.m. Eastern time, youtube.com/Fightful. That'll do it for Righteous Reg. I'm Steven Jensen. Take it easy and have a good one.
Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.